The reading comes from John chapter 3, verses 10 to 21. "You are Israel's teacher," said Jesus, "and do you not understand these things? Very truly I tell you, we speak of what we know and we testify to what we have seen. But still you people do not accept our testimony. I have spoken to you of earthly things and you do not believe. How then will you believe if I speak of heavenly things? No one has ever gone into heaven except the one who came from heaven, the Son of Man. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes may have eternal life in him. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already because they have not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but people love darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that their deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light so that it may be seen plainly that what they have done has been done in the sight of God."
Good morning, everyone, and happy Christmas. If I haven't met you, I'm Steve. This time of year, it's like half our congregation goes away and a lot of family and friends come. So there's a lot of similar-looking faces out there, lots of family connections. But I reckon I was sitting over there thinking the Brydens might take out the Hawaiian shirt prize for today, I think. We're continuing to think in the same track as the kids talk, thinking about God's gift to us. As we think about God's gift to us, I'm being a learned optimist at the moment. I have low blood pressure, and that's a great thing. It's a really helpful thing. Except sometimes, like for example, if I do a bit of exercise and then sit on the couch and then get up too quickly, whoa, I get all the wobbles. Head goes all fuzzy and dizzy. Generally, I need to stop moving, hang on to something, focus on a fixed point, wait for things to clear, and then take another step forward. I'm sure you've experienced something similar, maybe at the Ecker after a show ride or something, but you know that feeling. And metaphorically, life can be like that, can't it? Life can be a bit like that. We get so busy, things go a little bit bumpy, everything gets crazy and blurry and rushed, and you've just got to stop. Hang on to something. Focus on a fixed point. Wait for things to sort themselves out, and then take another step forward. And here we are on Christmas morning. Maybe this can be one of those chances, these opportunities where you get to stop and focus on Jesus for a bit. Focus on God's gift to us at Christmas. Let your vision clear before you take another step into 2024. Some of us, as you do that, some of us need a lot of encouragement, a lot of love and encouragement. Others of us, well, we need a firm reminder to put God first. Most of us need a bit of both, a bit of encouragement and a bit of a kick along. So there's one verse that we're looking at as we do this, as we pause and hang on to something and look at Jesus as God's gift. One verse to think on, and that's John 3, verse 16. In John chapter 3, verse 16, it's a verse which it encourages us with God's love and gives us a kick to actually trust Jesus, to put our belief in him. It says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life." There's encouragement in God's love, and there's the kick along to believe in Jesus. The first half of the verse there, it gets us thinking about the simple and amazing truth about Christmas, God's gift to us. At Christmas, that's what we're remembering. We're remembering how God gave his son Jesus to live in this world, to die for this world, and to rise to rule over this world. That's what we remember at Christmas. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son. Someone asked me during the week if I thought the word "so" there describes how much God loves us, as in God so much loved the world, or is it the way God loves us? God so loves us. God loves us in this way by giving his son. And I reckon both are true, aren't they? I mean, the first half, yeah, in the Greek it says "in this way," so God loved the world in this way, but then you look at the second half of the verse and you see how much God loves us, enough to give his son. It's huge. Too often when we think about love, we think of it as an emotion, you know, that sort of warm, fuzzy type feeling. Love becomes all about us, a warm, mushy kind of feeling. But true love expresses itself in service of the other. You may be expressing your love for your parents this morning by being here at church. You might be expressing your love for your kids by giving them fantastic gifts that have guns and things on you, like that picture you saw. But love is like that. Love shows itself in action. And you look at this verse, look at how God loves us. He's shown it by giving his son. So John 3 verse 16, "For in this way God loved the world, he gave his son." And then you look at the second half of the verse. And the second half of the verse, it says, "In order that whoever believes in him," whoever believes in Jesus, "shall not perish but have eternal life." So the purpose of God giving his son is so that people might live rather than perish, so that we can have eternal life rather than what we deserve. Ever since Adam and Eve, people have been ignoring God, ignoring our Creator, and that's not a good thing to do. It's not going to end well. If you look ahead, if you've got the passage printed there in front of you, if you look at verse 18, the second part of the verse, John says it like this, "But whoever does not believe stands condemned already." That's ever since Adam and Eve. Or again in verse 19, he talks about it in terms of light and dark. But our verse, 3 verse 16, says God has shown his love to this world of sinners by giving his son. Jesus' life, Jesus' death, Jesus' resurrection means that God can punish sin but spare sinners, can save us that. And that's God's gift. That's the way God shows his love, through this gift. If you look a bit closer at the second half of the verse, God's gift, it isn't forced on you. It's not automatic. You need to actually accept God's gift. You've got to take it out and open it. You need to accept the gift. The passage says we accept God's gift by believing in Jesus. That means trusting in Jesus, relying on him. And so if you put your trust in Jesus, you receive God's gift. You benefit from everything that Jesus has done. God gives you life. But if you don't accept God's gift, well, it says you stand condemned already. So if you look down in verse 17, it says a similar thing. It says, "For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him." God acted to give us a gift, a way to be saved from what we deserve. That's God's gift that we're thinking about at Christmas. God offers a way to deal with the stuff that we do that we shouldn't do. God offers a way to deal with us in a way that is loving, to spare us the justice that we deserve for ignoring our Creator. God gives us hope despite the bad choices that we've made. You see similar words in the verse before. In verse 14, it says, "Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness, so that the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes may have eternal life." Jesus there is digging deep into the Old Testament, to this point where there was a plague of judgment, and Moses made a snake, held it up. They looked at that, and they would have life. Jesus is saying, "He, the Son of Man, is like that. He'll be lifted up on a cross. Look to him. That's how you'll have life." It's a way of describing what it might be like to stop bustling around trying to sort out your own mess and just look to Jesus, to trust in him. And so our verse that we're thinking about this morning, For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. This verse we've zoomed in on, it comes in the context of a conversation that Jesus had with a man called Nicodemus. Nicodemus, you'll see in verse 10 that's printed there, Nicodemus was one of Israel's teachers. You can't see it in what's printed in the outline. If you go up to the beginning of the chapter, you'll find he's a Pharisee, a member of the Jewish council. And John says that Nicodemus came to Jesus at night, which describes the time of day, but also adds to that light-dark theme that you see running through John's gospel. Here's Nicodemus. He is in the dark. He doesn't understand what Jesus is here for. Jesus tells Nicodemus, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they're born again. And Jesus is talking in metaphors which Nicodemus, as a teacher of God's people, as a Pharisee, he should understand. He should recognize Ezekiel 36 behind this, where God promises a new heart to his people. But Nicodemus was a Pharisee, a teacher. He should have been able to see the light. Nicodemus, though, may have thought that he was doing okay. I mean, he's a leader of all his people. But Jesus' diagnosis is that Nicodemus needs a new heart. And Nicodemus stands as a warning for all of us, not to trust in our status, not to trust in our achievements, not to trust in our confidence. We need God to completely transform us so that we'll believe in Jesus, look to him and enjoy life. And Jesus describes that as being born again. It's a miracle that God works in us. We're not told if Nicodemus was born again that night. We're not told if he believed in Jesus that night. The next time you meet Nicodemus is in chapter 7 of John's Gospel, when the Jewish leaders are angry at the temple guards for not arresting Jesus. And Nicodemus, he says, does our Lord condemn anyone without first hearing him to find out what he is doing? It's kind of like Nicodemus may actually believe in Jesus here, but John doesn't give you a definite. You're not sure. You keep reading through John's Gospel, you come to chapter 19. Joseph of Arimathea collects Jesus' body, and we read, he was accompanied by Nicodemus, the man who earlier had visited Jesus at night. Nicodemus brought a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 70 pounds. Taking Jesus' body, the two of them wrapped it with spices in strips of linen. This was in keeping with Jewish customs. Here's the man who came to Jesus at night, out in the open. But then you think about it, well, actually, this was going on at dusk. Was Nicodemus born again? Did he believe in Jesus? Well, we don't really know, do we? John doesn't tell us. And there'll be many other people for whom we can't answer that question. Are they born again? Are they believing in Jesus? We can't answer that question. But you can answer it for yourself. Do you know the miracle of new birth? Do you believe in Jesus? Our verse says, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. We've taken time out to kind of pause, to look at Jesus, to look at the gift of Jesus at Christmas. Time to kind of let your vision clear as we think about God's gift at Christmas. Some of us, you know, we need a bit of encouragement. We need to be reminded of God's love. Some of us, well, we need a kick along. We need to believe in Jesus. And all of us, we need a bit of both. I'm going to pray for us in a way that prays that God would be working that miracle of new life in us. Let's pray together. Dear God, we're sorry for ignoring you. We thank you for the gift of your Son, for forgiveness and for new life. Please forgive us. Please change us to live with Jesus as our King and our Saviour. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.